Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hammer Talkie, tonight at 7 on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's get back to Matthew Fairburn. Fairburn Friday. You can read Matthew's work at the Athletic Buffalo. Joining us now in the sports bar, Matthew. Thank you, as always, for your time. We love having you in here to talk Buffalo Bills. Lots of ways to attack this potential deal that they tried to strike with Antonio Brown. What's your biggest takeaway from the last few days here for the Bills?
You know, I think this is such an interesting 24 hours for the Bills. You know, the fact that the biggest takeaway has to be the fact that they were even in the mix for a guy like Antonio Brown shows a few things. Number one, Brandon Bean is willing to be aggressive like we all kind of thought. We've seen him be aggressive. This aggressive, though, probably not. But I think the bigger takeaway, you know, number two, this is a guy who is a complete headache. I mean, this Antonio Brown is, you know, off his rocker the last 12 months or so. The way that he's behaved towards Ben Roethlisberger and the way that he's behaved on social media. And Sean McDermott just last week was talking about at wide receiver specifically, they want guys who are team first guys. Everything Antonio Brown has done in the last 12 months has been Antonio Brown first, team second. So I think that is an interesting question to answer is, you know, of why this guy? And I think obviously the reason is he's super talented. But if they're making that exception, then at what, you know, how far do they take it? You know, who is potentially in the mix? Who would they trade for? It opens up a world of possibilities that, you know, we had previously not necessarily given a ton of thought to because of everything they've said and done about, you know, bringing in the right type of guys and, you know, building the right type of locker room. I think this shows a ton of confidence in the locker room that they have built and the culture that Sean McDermott has created, because the reason you create that culture and, you know, have that type of locker room is so you can absorb a personality like that. But man, I don't know if there's a locker room in the league that can absorb that guy right now.
Matthew, here in the season of lying, that is March here in the NFL, and I will preface this by saying we like Ian Rapoport. We've had him on the show before. But for him, and again, his sources, how did he get this so wrong? Who was playing him? What was to be gained if Brandon Bean says, this actually, we had a conversation earlier in the week, and it kind of fell apart there?
That's a great question. It's a fascinating question because the funny thing is I went to bed at about 11 o'clock last night. I try to keep regular, you know, somewhat normal sleeping hours, you know, during the off season. And I woke up at about 7:30. And so I pretty much missed everything because the tweet drops at what, 11:38 or something like that. And by 7:15, Brandon Bean has said, you know, there's nothing to it. And so, it's like I wake up and I miss everything, but I've missed nothing because there was nothing there. And so, to me, there's no conceivable way I could see this coming from Brandon Bean. Not to say that, you know, Brandon Bean has never, you know, given something to Ian Rapoport or Adam Schefter. I don't know. I assume he has because Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport are good at their jobs and they get a lot of stuff from a lot of different places. But this, to me, feels like it was coming from the Steelers' side. Because for the Bills to say, to be comfortable, anyone in the Bills' front office to be comfortable saying that they're close to a deal would mean they have to be pretty comfortable with the fact that Antonio Brown is, you know, willing to come to Buffalo and willing to buy into the program and be the type of guy that they look for. And to me, it sounds like pretty quickly that became clear that wasn't the case. And so I doubt that they would be around spreading the rumor that it was about to happen if they hadn't, you know, dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. And so to me, that's where it feels like it would be coming from, somewhere in the Steelers camp, because it also doesn't really smell like an agent here, because, you know, Drew Rosenhaus would know that Antonio Brown doesn't want to go to Buffalo. So him putting that out there, to me, wouldn't make a lot of sense. It's all a guess. This is all, you know, me just hypothesizing based on, you know, how I know these things work. But that would be my guess, because, like you said, you look to who has something to gain. And obviously the Steelers would have been most excited about the fact that, you know, they were able to unload him.
Matthew, if we're allowed to speculate, we all kind of jump to the conclusion that Antonio Brown squashed this deal by saying, I don't want to play for Buffalo, I won't report. Well, there are other reports out there that say that Antonio Brown, with his new team, wants to be the highest paid wide receiver in the league. Could it be that the Bills said, no, we're not going to be that invested in you, we're not going to make you the highest paid receiver in the league, and that's why we're the ones that are going to walk away from this deal?
Yeah, that's possible. Honestly, I think it's probably a mix of all those factors. He could have not wanted to come to Buffalo because they wouldn't make him the highest paid receiver in the league. And then that, you know, kind of blurs the line a little bit of who said no to who, right? I mean, I think both can be true. I think he can, you know, have not wanted to come to Buffalo for football reasons. I highly doubt that this was a blight on Buffalo as a city. I know a lot of people want to turn it into that and say that Brown gave the city the middle finger and whatever else. But to me, I highly doubt that that has anything to do with it. He was playing 3 hours south of here in Pittsburgh. Right. The cities are not that much different. I mean, Pittsburgh's a little bit bigger. There's a little bit more going on, but it's still cold, and it's a pretty similar personality city-wise. I doubt that was it. The football reasons make sense, right? I mean, if Antonio Brown doesn't want to come to a team that's rebuilding, that has a young quarterback who may or may not, you know, become a franchise quarterback while he's 31 years old and only has a few years of his prime left, that makes some sense. And, you know, the money part also makes sense, because I think that's part of why else would he be so upset about the way things are going in Pittsburgh? I mean, that was my issue. I think you guys asked me about Antonio Brown at some point this offseason. And, you know, the point I tried to underscore was I don't know why he would want to come to Buffalo. Regardless of whether they would be, let's assume they were willing to take on the risk, which clearly they were, of bringing that personality into their locker room. The bigger question is, what are you going to get out of that personality? If he couldn't play ball and be a good teammate in Pittsburgh with a future Hall of Fame quarterback, a well-respected head coach, and a team that was a perennial contender in the AFC, how is he going to behave when he's in a locker room with an unproven second-year quarterback and a team that hasn't tasted any success, really, and hasn't won a playoff game in many, many years? I mean, how's he going to behave then? Mm-hmm. And so, if Ben Roethlisberger can't keep this guy happy, who can?
Right.
I mean, that's one of the best quarterbacks in football. So I think there's a lot. Look, I think it's a dangerous game to play to try to get inside Antonio Brown's head. I don't know if that's the place I want to be right now.
So the Bills, Matthew, letting the league know that they aren't afraid to spend money and make moves just in front of free agency, that's one thing. But then you also have a star kind of saying that he doesn't want to play for the Bills. I'm curious your opinion on which of those two factors has more impact with players league-wide in advance of free agency here.
I'm not sure either one means a great deal at this point. I don't think anybody is looking, any agent or any player is looking at the Bills differently because Antonio Brown said no. Everybody knows Antonio Brown is a very unique situation. I don't think it, on the other side, I don't think the fact that the Bills were willing to spend and make a move for Antonio Brown necessarily says a ton about what they're going to do in the next couple of weeks. Antonio Brown is so unique. He is the best receiver in football. You know, six straight seasons of at least 1,200 yards, six straight seasons of 100 catches and 12 yards a catch. I mean, this guy is, you know, a rare, rare talent at the position. And for him to become available is a rare, you know, situation. And so the fact that the Bills were willing to maybe take a chance on the best receiver in football doesn't mean they're going to go overspend for Adam Humphries. And on the other end of things, the fact that Antonio Brown, who has been a, you know, well-known malcontent over the last 12 months and wasn't happy in Pittsburgh, you know, the fact that he said no to Buffalo, I don't think will make a player or an agent say, well, geez, if Antonio Brown isn't going to go to Buffalo, like, why should we? Antonio Brown might not go to 25 teams in the league. You know, he's trying to wield more power than he has. The Steelers are giving him a lot of power. But, you know, he's wielding a lot of power here by saying he won't play. And certainly no team wants to give up the compensation to end up with a guy like that. So I don't think either one of those factors is going to, you know, play a big role for the Bills here in the next couple of weeks, because there aren't any more Antonio Browns out there unless, you know, Odell Beckham becomes available.
How do you look at it from Brown's standpoint? Where do you think he where does he think he's going to go? I mean, is he going to at some point perhaps, Matthew, regret not coming to Buffalo? Let's say a team like Oakland ends up with his services. I would think Buffalo's closer to a playoff berth than a lot of the teams who are interested in him right now.
Yeah, and I wrote that, you know, I think he missed an opportunity to be, you know, a part of pulling this offense out of the gutter and helping a rising quarterback reach his potential. I mean, he would have been a legend here. It wouldn't have taken much for him to become a legend in Buffalo. I think fans were ready to jump all in on this guy, and he may end up regretting that. But, you know, the thing about Antonio Brown is the way that he's behaving, you know, over the last year or so, probably stretches back to about 2017. You don't get the sense that he's ever sat down and asked himself, you know, these types of questions, right? You don't get the sense that he's ever said, you know, why doesn't anybody want me? You know, like, you know, why aren't I a bigger draw to some of these teams? I mean, a first round pick for Antonio Brown, are you going to find a player as good as Antonio Brown in this draft in the first round? Probably not. So why don't, you know, teams want this guy? Why aren't teams lining up to hand their first round pick to the Steelers? It's because of the way he's acting and behaving. And he's acting like he's a free agent, which he's not. And like I said before, if Ben Roethlisberger, you know, if you can't be happy as a receiver playing for a future Hall of Fame quarterback who's still playing pretty damn well, even at his age, how many quarterbacks are out there that are better than Ben Roethlisberger? Not a ton, right? And when you look at that list and then say, okay, how many of these teams have both the draft picks and the cap room to bring him in, that list gets even smaller. Yeah. And so, you know, unless he's holding out for the Steelers to trade him to the Patriots or the Packers, and the Patriots example, too, is do we really think the Steelers are going to take their best player and trade him to their biggest roadblock to the Super Bowl? I mean, I doubt it. I don't think they're going to give him to him for pennies on the dollar at the very least. So, yeah, it's a confusing situation from Antonio Brown's standpoint. And if he really does want to, you know, play football, and, you know, do it for a fan base, you know, for the right reasons of, you know, wanting to really enjoy the game and be around a fan base that appreciates their players, I think he probably would have had a decent time in Buffalo. And you know what? I think they might have been open to, you know, paying him at some point. Or look at what they did to get, you know, obviously a different regime, but to get LeSean McCoy to come here, it wasn't an entirely different situation. But, you know, they have the cap room to pay up if that were the case. It's just a matter of the way that he's acted during the whole thing and to stick his nose up at a certain team. He doesn't have a no-trade clause, but the Steelers are essentially giving him one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic joining us here on the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Always gracious with his time. Just a few more minutes, Matthew. I want to start talking a little bit about free agency. A couple of the visits that happened this week at One Bills Drive, Dwayne Allen, Kevin Johnson, any of these visits amounting to anything? Could we see a signing before free agency from the Buffalo Bills?
Nothing solid yet because these guys are still taking visits, but I definitely think they'll be in the mix on these guys. They like to grab, you know, some of these value guys before, you know, the market opens. And I think some of the names that have popped up today, even, you know, obviously that haven't visited with the Bills or it hasn't got to that point yet, but, you know, T.J. Lang got released by Detroit. Mm-hmm. Malik Jackson got released by the Jaguars. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, one of the guys that's visited or one of the guys that's going to get released on this weekend of cuts, you know, ends up in Buffalo, because they do like to take advantage of that market before, you know, everything gets crazy, you know, with when free agency opens. And I think it's a smart way to go about it. T.J. Lang's had a lot of injuries, but I think he'd be a really interesting fit. The type of leader that they would want when he's healthy, he plays at a really high level. His family's from Michigan, not too far. So it'd be an interesting fit if they decide to go down that road. But we'll see what happens. I think they'll continue to kick the tires on a lot of those guys, though.
Legal tampering begins Monday, but probably it already began, Matthew, let's be honest. But by this time next week, maybe we have some new signings. As far as guys that are unrestricted free agents, who are you hearing anything? I mean, this isn't the old Buffalo Bills, I understand, where you had rumors abound. But what should we expect come next week for the Buffalo Bills in free agency?
I think they'll probably take a swing at a couple of the big names, and then try to fill a lot of their needs with the second and third tier free agents. A lot of people will say, okay, they tried to trade for Antonio Brown. Now they're going to try to trade for A.J. Green and Odell Beckham, and they're going to spend $12 million on Adam Humphries and $15 million on Matt Paradis. I don't think this is a sign that Brandon Bean has become unhinged and is going to all of a sudden start throwing money around like a crazy person. But I do think they've had a plan all along to kind of, you know, I think they'll spend some money on the offensive line. I think even last year, if you look, I mean, Star Latulale and Trent Murphy are guys that, you know, cost a decent amount of money. The year before, they spent on a few guys. So I would expect them to bring in a few big ticket items and then try to, you know, fill out the dance card with other, you know, different, you know, middle tier guys. Jamison Crowder is a name to watch, a receiver I like that I think would fit, you know, kind of what they're looking to do. So I would look for a couple of big names that you recognize and then some names that you recognize and you say, oh, you know, the more you think about it, that, you know, that guy fits pretty well. So it's going to be an interesting week. By this time next week, we'll certainly have a lot to talk about.
Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. What do you got working at the site, Matthew?
Well, this week I posted the Jim Kelly story I told you guys about a couple weeks ago. That was a fun one to write about his time in the USFL, and just wrote a column on the whole Antonio Brown mess. In which I tried to sort through my thoughts as cleanly as I could. And tonight I'm going to be up at Alumni Arena as University of Buffalo's basketball team is, you know, has its senior night and the final home game before they head off to the MAC tournament and then eventually the NCAA tournament. So I've got a story coming on their run and trying to put it in perspective what it means, you know, big picture for the program.
Where do you think they are? They a five? Could they get up to a four? Where do you think the UB Bulls end up here? As you know, they made some noise last year, as well as you know, Matthew.
Yeah, it's strange to think that this could legitimately be a four or five seed if things go well, you know, at the MAC tournament next week. I mean, that's a very realistic scenario, and it's a very different type of pressure that they'll be dealing with heading into the tournament, sitting there as a team that's expected to win at least one, maybe even two games. So we'll see how they handle it. I think they do have a shot at probably four is their ceiling. And, you know, maybe they end up as a five, but obviously some of that will hinge on what happens at the MAC tournament. They need to take care of some business there.
Matthew, you're the best. Appreciate you giving us your time as you always do. You're always so gracious with it, and your insight is valuable. Thank you so much, and we hope you have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks, fellas.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic, and if you missed that, we'll have that up on our website a little bit later on, and when we asked him right at the top what was his biggest takeaway, just the fact the Bills were involved in this, this kind of flies in the face of process, if you will, doesn't fit, so yeah, the Bills are announcing to the NFL that they want to play here, and it didn't work out, but to me, that announcement, that is the biggest development on all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can call the process for what it's been all along. It's a nice talking point, a nice cliche to use in press conferences, and it's a nice deodorant for if your team isn't what we all expect it could be or should be. This is a process. We're trying to get better. We're trying to improve. We want a special, certain kind of guy. You want players. Every team wants good, talented players. Antonio Brown is a headache off the field, but on the field, he's one of, if not the best. Found it very interesting. It's been an interesting 24 hours.
Do you really think Brown to the Bills is 100% dead?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I mean, the statement from Brandon Bean this morning was, we're moving on, focused on free agency. You know, that could have been all, you know, I mean, we don't know the whole story, the backstory. You think about it. I mean, something came out that wasn't supposed to come out, or they got word that Brown didn't want to come to Buffalo. If you don't want to come to Buffalo, you know, if that's the case, you can't, you know, Brandon Bean's not going to say Antonio Brown didn't want to come to Buffalo, so we're moving on. So you say what you can say, which is, we had talks, we engaged, and we walked away. And if they walked away because they're trying to be fiscally responsible and they don't want to make him the highest paid wide receiver in the league, I applaud them.
Right, because every Bills fan would have been, I think most would be happy that you just traded for Antonio Brown. But when you talk about the cap implications, not this year, but down the road, it'd be worse than what you did with LeSean McCoy. That'd be the LeSean McCoy mistake all over again. Hey, you know, we know you didn't want to come here, but here's a lot of money. We'll make it good. So good for you, Brandon Bean, that you didn't fall into that trap.
Good for you, Brandon Bean, for picking up the phone or accepting that call. Whatever happened with that deal, whoever initiated, you know, just being involved in it, showing an interest. I don't think you could ask for much more. That's a good sign from your team, from your front office. We're going to talk more Antonio Brown, more Buffalo Bills. Craig Riley next hour from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh joins us for a conversation as we kind of attempt to break apart and unravel this whole story of how this happened, how it didn't happen, who's right. What happened to Rappaport? We like Rappaport.
Yeah.
Rappaport's usually pretty solid. Is it a function of the team that he's reporting from? I mean, we always joke that Lockenfora can't get a Bills story right. Right? He never can predict what's going to happen with the Buffalo Bills. I think there are probably some beat writers out there that just they can't hit on specific teams. But we'll get Craig in here. He'll break it down with us here next hour in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Let's do this, Gino. Let's take a break here. Come back. We've got some takes.
Oh yeah. We call it takes on tap here. I'll drink to that in the sports bar. Obviously, more takes on Antonio Brown. How about the Sabres last night? You could have had the hat trick. You did have the hat trick at disappointing. How can you have a game where three guys that no Sabre fan want on the team, Bogosian, Okposo, and Saboka, all score and just end the season?
I got a couple of Antonio Brown thoughts as well. Some takes. You're welcome to join us at 454 ESPN.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
I mean, this is a tease here. I better run this by the editorial department on this one take. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to deliver that or you want to have your puppet deliver that?
No. It will be me.
Oh, boy.
The U.S. women's soccer team filed a lawsuit today.
Okay.
I've got thoughts on that.
All right. I'll drink to that is on the way next. You're in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're listening. Glad you're with us this afternoon. More next on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.